Welcome to the River Church Podcast.
We're all about bringing the life, hope, and love of Jesus to everyone around us.
For more information, check out our website at river-church.uk.
Just as we finish, I feel like that is the whole point in doing what we do. And I just got this sense that God doesn't want or need to be impressed by you. Jesus has got the ultimate victory over everything. But actually, in the last two songs, what we've sung is just about this ability just to stand. And if all we've got is a hallelujah, that is what will move the heart of God. He's not impressed by the best of us. All right, he's not concerned about the worst of us. If we can stand and lift our hands and say hallelujah, it delights the heart of our Father. And I just want to pray for those that are feeling like that's not enough. Those that are concerned that maybe you've gone through a season where it's felt more like a battle than a blessing and you feel like it's really impacted you. I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, draw close to my brothers and sisters and help them know that their hallelujah in those hard places is worth infinitely more than doing it in a place of prosperity and blessing. And I just pray, strengthen them as they feel burdens and weights. Lord, we just look at you, whose yoke is easy, whose burden is light, and we just say, partner with them by the power of your Spirit. In these moments, particularly looking at 2025, if you're sitting here thinking, oh, I don't want another 2024, Jesus, come and bring hope. But even if all we've got is a hallelujah, it will be enough. And I thank you, that is the sort of God you are. Amen. Amen. Thanks for leading us, guys. Great. Yeah, I don't know what you guys were thinking when we're thinking about 2024 and thankfulness. Well, it's hard to remember back, isn't it? About all the things that God's done. And I've typically been thinking about us as a church. You know, I've had a week off. Hopefully you've rested as well. And I do try not to think about you all the time. But you are on my mind often. And I'm full of thankfulness for you. I really am. I was really getting moved as we're worshipping. You know, we started out as a 20 faces at West Court, just going, what are we doing? a couple of years ago. And now, you know, do you know we're 15 weeks old as a church site? That's not very, think about where a baby is at 15 weeks and what they're capable of, right? It just feels like we're really at our infancy, but we've already got so much to be thankful for, right? It's amazing. You know, we're gathering, I don't know, 60, 70 of us, including our kids. You know, this place is full with them, isn't it? It's wonderful. You know, we're meeting new people every week. We've got that to be thankful for. But I want to say thank you personally, because what I can really see amongst us is an authenticity, that real genuine heart to follow God. That's what we've got here. And I think that comes out in spades. It's the way that we're willing just to turn up and even turn up on time. Do you know what filled my heart with the greatest joy today? Is looking out there at 3:45 and seeing people hanging out and enjoying each other. That's what this is about. You know, being ready to receive each other and receive him. Right? It's such a precious thing to look after that we've already started with. It's amazing. I want to thank you for every one of you who have just got involved with serving. Right? I don't know how many teams we've tried to stand up since we had to move from chaos into order. Right? But going weekly takes loads of effort. And loads of people have just said, I'll muck in. I'll play my part. And we absolutely understand not everyone can to the same degree. That's fine. That's why we serve one another. But it's just been a joy to see us as a family serving one another. And we've looked out for one another as well. I think probably one of the other highlights of my term so far was a moment where we were praying for one another, and I looked across and I saw it was you, Chris, and you were in a huddle, and it looked like you had two of the production team in a headlock. I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on? And I realised they were praying for each other. It was a headlock. Okay, I did get it right. That's fine. But it was like this brotherhood. Like, I really care about you and you really care about me, and we're just going to pray for each other and we're going to ask the blessing of God on each other. And I know it's flipping tough at the moment, but God's going to be good to you even in the suffering. That's really what I saw. I didn't know what you were praying about, but I was just like, but this is what we want to multiply. Right? It's not a, you know, just chatting with Emma the other day, what impresses the heart of God more, so to speak? Is it a great sounding worship team that are quite rude and horrible to each other? Or is it about a group of people that just know how to love each other well? Yeah, it's a no-brainer. So we have, above everything else, we want to thank God that he has just put some incredible ingredients into this church already. And it doesn't stop with Gravesend. It goes out to Dartford as well. But we should just be so thankful for what God has done here as a site. And it then stretches to those that we've met along the way, those that have joined us, the community stuff that we've done, those that we've interacted with, the favour at the school. You know, how good was doing the feast? It was brilliant, wasn't it? What a privilege it is. All within 15 weeks. It's amazing, isn't it? That lifted my faith. And I'm going to share a little bit more about what lifted my faith last year in a second. But I want to ask you the question. So I think there's a little slide. If you've not been here before, we don't just want to hear the person at the front talk. We want to share. And that helps us understand each other. And we're going to come to pray for one another in a bit. But I wanted to ask the question, how did you grow in faith in 2024 and what helped you? So have a little think about that. And in about 10 seconds, we're going to turn to each other and we're going to share just for a few minutes about what that was. What helped you grow in faith in 2024? And if you go, I'm not sure, that's a great answer, just so you know. And if you say, I don't think I grew much, okay, we'll talk about it. But if you did, then hey, share, what was it that helped you grow? And it will be interesting to see whether it was times of blessing or times of battle. Maybe look out for that. But why don't you turn to one another now and just share, be vulnerable, what helped you grow in 2024 in faith? Okay, everyone. Should we move on a little bit? I'm going to move on by just sharing a little bit with you. And to heading into today, I kind of knew today was going to be a little bit different. I knew it wasn't about a preach today, so it is a bit different. It was just about a little bit of sharing so we can get back into doing some prayer with one another. Really making space for God to do what kind of he needs to do in our hearts at the moment, even in our group just then, sharing about some highs of 24, but also thinking, you know, 2025. Whenever it's January, it feels harder, doesn't it? You know, those dark times, it's cold and everything. It just feels a little bit harder. I just want to remember that, and we'll come back to it. But I felt like there is a real freedom and favour today, as we pray for one another, for God really just to speak to some of us as well. And in a bit, we're going to pray for one another and prophesy over one another. So it's going to be good fun. But I felt God say, just share my reason for why I grew in faith in 2024. And I want to take you back to April. So April 2024, we'd just finished the harbour and the feast. Most of you know what those things were. That was a great time serving the community. We'd then also been quite heavily involved with doing Good Friday. And as a leadership team of River Church, we thought, you know, this is the moment that God is saying to go multi-site, right? So we are talking years of praying that had gone into this point. I remember the trips up to Winmore Hill, the prayer walks, the gathering in each other's homes. We'd really sought God. So this was a time of excitement. But that is not what happened to me. And I haven't spoken about it much. But during that time exactly, before we kind of announced to the church what would be happening, I went through a really tough few weeks. And it was like a cloud of like a dark cloud, like almost of oppression came over me. And I don't tend to suffer with stuff like that. But it was things being said such as, it won't work and you can't do it. And none of you are ready, you know? None of you can do this. And it was a really weird time because I mean, you probably got this, but I'm a bit of a, you know, we can do this guy, right? I'm quite positive. So it was very strange to be going through the season. And it reminded me of a time that I went through this nearly 18 years ago. And interestingly, it was the time in the few weeks leading up to me proposing to Emma. And in that same time, I knew God was saying, this is the woman to marry. And I knew that he wanted me to ask her. And I planned everything. It was all looking good. But then, almost immediately, I had the same thing happen. And it was a real battle. Things suddenly started coming into my thoughts. Not for me, but coming into my thoughts. Things like, you're going to ruin her. And you're going to wreck it. And you're going to destroy your family. And you won't be faithful. And you can't do this. Who are you? And again, it's like, well, where does this stuff come from? If it's not coming from, like, within us, do you know what I mean? It's felt like a real battle. But this is what happened. As I got close to the moment that I was going to ask Emma to marry me, I thought, I've just got to follow through with what God's asked me to do. It was like an obedience thing. And so when I asked Emma to marry me, and she said yes, by the way, come on, I didn't have to twist her arm or anything. I was unconventional. I think I ended up on two knees, didn't I? It was all a bit confusing, right? But the point is, as I got up from the ground, all those thoughts disappeared immediately. And they never returned. And I thought, oh, I know what's happening here. This is a battle, isn't it? This is a battle. Because it's really significant. I knew, and I've shared this with a few of you, I knew when I married Emma, I wasn't committing to marrying her alone. I was kind of committing my life to Jesus because I knew that this woman was precious in her sight and I needed to take care of her. And if we were going to go in the same destination, I knew I needed to be faithful to him. And then I'd easily be faithful to her. And that's kind of, and I thought, okay, what is happening here with the church then? What's happening in my own heart? What's going on? So I just thought, I'm going to approach it the same way. I'm going to get down on two knees again. And I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna say, God, you sorted that out back then. Can you speak into this situation your truth? So I would just know that you're still in this and that you want this to happen. Have you been in that situation before? Something like that? Because I feel when we pray, we always know God hears us. But we don't always know how he's going to answer us. Do you know what I mean? And I think part of me just sort of carried on life. But about a week later, two people text out of the blue. Right, I hadn't heard from one of them for a long time. And both of them said the same thing. They said, Q, I've had a dream and you were in it. I thought I should share it. So I was like, okay. So I read what they said, and I'll read it out. But I shared this with a few people here, some of the leaders, and one of them actually said, it's looking at the same situation from two different angles, these two dreams. There's similarities. I thought, that's probably what I see as well. Let me just read it. Snippets to you. So there was a small group of people walking through what looked like Gravesend, and it was raining. And there were about 8 or 10 people. And none of them knew each other, but they were all walking quietly. They all seemed withdrawn and hiding from something. But you were leading them quietly forward, and what struck me is there were mostly women, just a couple of men, but from all ethnicities. It was a really diverse bunch. They were small in number, but their needs were great. It was kind of like the biggest bit of the first dream. And then the second dream said, I could see, and this is from someone else, I could see people were coming in and out of your house, and they were carrying buckets of water. And in your garden at the very far end was a standing water tap. And around that tap were about 8 or 10 people with buckets trying to get the water. Some interesting few were trying to get into the garden over the fence, but it made sense. Because the houses around you were without water. You were the only one with running water. Everyone around was trying to find their way to your house for water. What do you think? Because these people didn't know what I was going through. And actually, you know what it's like when you respond to what you think God is saying and you just put it out there in the hope that God's in it. But I just took hold of that and I was like, wow. Because it wasn't, if it had been one person, it would have been quite good. But two people, and there's some other stuff that I haven't got time to share in it, but it's about the timing of what God says. Because it's that battle and blessing thing. I think in the times of battle are in fact the times that we grow the most. And even this week in my reading, I'm in Matthew's gospel and Jesus going to the wilderness and what happens? He faces oppression and lies and negativity. Doubts try and get seeded into his head from the enemy, but he just stands on the truth. And I felt when I heard these words, God is instilling truth into us as a church. And when I heard this word, I knew it wasn't about my house. I knew it wasn't really about me. It was about us and what God's doing through this house. And as I've just pondered and prayed over this, I think this is the single biggest moment last year that grew my faith. Because none of those thoughts, a bit like the moment I stood up having asked Emma to marry me, when I've prayed through this stuff, I've just not had thoughts like that again. God wants to draw people to himself through us. That's why we're here. And as I've gone into scripture and I've looked, I just want to put up a couple of verses, if that's all right, Chris. Jesus talks in these ways to people. On one time, at a very significant festival for the Jewish people, he stood up and as he poured the water out, he said, look, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. People coming to God's house to receive living water, people trying to get in over the fences because none of the houses around have that living water. It was another moment, wasn't there, when Jesus said very similar words to someone, and it was the woman at the well. And it's interesting that Jesus uses almost the same language. I've got the next verse here. He says, look, pointing at the well, look, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. There are eternal consequences to what we've decided to do here. By letting God get hold of our lives and saying yes, regardless of how dark and grim life can get, or how difficult things can be, when we allow the living God by his Spirit, that's what John goes on to qualify. Jesus was talking about his Spirit at work in his people, and when we allow his Spirit to work within us, it transforms us and it transforms the communities around us. And I feel that is what God would want to put front and center as we think about 2025. You know, I could have easily done this big, fat old, you know, vision talk. You know, what's the strategy for 2025 for River Church in Dartford and Gravesend? I could have done it. Would have been wrong. Because if we don't get this, I promise you, none of the other stuff is worth it. Right? I just think time and time and time and time again, I find God always drawing me back to this. And we've touched on it a little bit through last year. haven't we? We've talked about being Jesus shape. But it's like, well, is there something new that we should focus on this year? The answer is absolutely not. No. No. Instead, I just feel like there's just one thing I want to deposit in our hearts as we kind of conclude this bit. I feel God would say to all of us, right, if you're serious about him and following him, if you prioritize the internal, I'll take care of the external. If you prioritize your inner devotion to me, I will take care of the fruit on the outside. I loved those dreams because at no point were we, any of us, drawing people to the tap. They were just without water and they were thirsty and they came because they needed the water and they wanted it. I think looking at that dream, all we get to do is walk around with buckets. Isn't that a privilege to give buckets to those that need it? I think this is where it truly is at. Because if we've got hold of the living water in us, it will flow out. And we don't even have to try. It's effortless. It's effortless. So that's why I want to pray for one another. To just know that we've already got this living water in us. If you know Jesus, you've got the living water. You just might need it to well up a bit more. That's all. And I just sense there is a new season ahead with a greater freedom for us to express the faith that's already in us. It's a bit of a weird question, the one I've asked. How are you going to grow in faith in 2025? Actually, it's a funny one. Do you need more faith, or do you need something else to let the faith you've already got out? It's an interesting thing to ponder, because faith of a mustard seed can do quite a lot according to Jesus. You've got living water in you if you have Jesus in you. And through you, he can do much. And as I've thought about this, there's just, I think, three things that I'd love to pray over. But I think there are three things we need to continue to value as we get into next year. And it's not strategy. Okay, it's just three things that I think we need to pursue. And here they are. And I promise you, 1 minute on each one, and then we'll pray. Our formation to allow living waters to flow within our own lives is central to it all. You know, if you think about your own formation, we've talked about it pretty much all term. What shapes you? Well, the answer is everything around you shapes you. So kind of it's what goes in comes out. It's one of those scenarios. Are you allowing enough of him in your life? And we want to create ways for us to grow in this. So as we get into next term, there are going to be some bits to do with connect groups that we're going to share. And it's going to be very significant. It's a significant moment for us in a moment of where you feel like you need to hibernate. It's a moment for us to say, well, even in hibernation, some interesting things happen. I wasn't going to mention this, but I will. Plants are fascinating. Not much happens on the outside, but they actually go to a root level where they've got storage of sugars and all sorts of stuff. And in the hibernation season, they're actually growing their roots, ready for spring. I feel like that's a picture of what we need to do. So if you think this is a moment where we need to ease off the gas and just get through winter, you're utterly wrong. Okay, this is a moment where we need to step into root growth. And we want to just create ways to do that. And I think one of the most significant ways will be community. You know, you can get a headlock off Chris. He's good at that and praying for people. But it's just a picture of really what needs to multiply amongst all of us. You know, Kate was just sharing over the summer we had like a informal connect group with a few of us. And she was like, that was the thing that grew my faith. It's just we've been given each other as a gift to do life with and encourage one another and support one another and help when it's rubbish. Pick each other up. Sort each other out. Have frank conversations when we need them. But this is what a loving family does. And I just want to pray over each of us that we would learn to love one another so deeply. And then lastly, mission. I was chatting with Dunks and Abbott about this the other day, right? It is very much like this sort of tripod stand. These are three legs. If you lose one of them, the whole thing will fall over. We cannot just be a holy huddle. There has to be a reason for that water that's living in us to come out. And I'm just holding on to that picture, whether it's 8 to 10 people or otherwise, there are people in great need that God is going to draw in to us. And the first need they're going to have is they're going to be thirsty. So we need to get used to fixing our own thirst so that we can teach others in many ways how to sort their own thirst out. So we want to really just have a moment now where we just pray for one another and pray these things in. Because I just feel like God wants to do something in a few of us particularly today. And it might take a bit of vulnerability perhaps to say, actually, I'd love some prayer over this. This is going on in my life. But I just believe Jesus wants to just get hold of a few of us today. And just wave at me to make sure you know you're awake. Who really feels they often hear the voice of God, either through his word or by the Spirit? Yeah? And who sometimes struggles to maybe hear God a bit? Yeah? I'm going to pray for you guys in just a second. Because when we're together, in God's presence, living water is flowing in us. It's flowing through all of us. And we believe that God speaks. He doesn't just speak through dreams. But he knows situations. He just sometimes wants to reveal stuff by his Spirit. You may not be used to that. It might sound a bit strange to you. But he is alive and he's living and he speaks. And I hope we've demonstrated even some of that today. And I just feel like we need to try and, as a church, 2025, push beyond prayer into what is the heart of God here. You're not just asking, but receiving as well. Not just speaking, but hearing. Do you know what I mean? And we don't need a big thing to train us in how to hear the voice of God. You've heard the voice of God if you're following your shepherd. You're a sheep, right? So lean in and take a brave step. Two people sent me a dream, hoping it was from God. Right? Share what you sense God saying. It might be a word, it might be a picture, that's absolutely fine. But as we pray for one another, I just feel like God wants to share some stuff. And it's probably unlikely any of us are going to fall asleep and have a dream. So it's probably going to be a word. So share over one another. And my biggest tip is just encourage one another. And I promise you, out of encouragement will flow the revelation of God and his promises for people. And hey, you know, we're going to spend, I don't know, 15 minutes or so doing this. So we've got plenty of time. But I would suggest maybe groups of 3 or 4, probably no bigger. So we've got enough time to go around everyone. But I urge you, go for it. This is a moment of formation. This is a moment of community. This is a moment that gets us ready for mission. And as much as we've focused on the outside as well as a church, I feel like this is a moment where God wants to just underpin some of the things he's doing. Does that sound okay? Great. So we're going to have a little bit of music in the background. Why don't you turn to the people around you? And if you want prayer for specific things, do it. But it feels like we just want to pray for these living waters to be stirred in us. And just listen to the Holy Spirit, see what he says. I just really hope that that's been a good time for you guys, just praying and receiving. And we're just gonna finish with one more song. I think the words are pretty profound. You know, what starts out as maybe battles ends in blessing. What starts as hard work and things rising around us, God is good in it all. So, if you've finished praying, why don't you just stand where you are?